Okay, here we are. It's Friday. We're live. It's Movie Reviews and More. We have a packed studio with one caller calling in. I'm Brian Sebastian, Movie Reviews and More. We have two co-hosts in today. And it's the first time they've seen each other in a long time, obviously. Let's start around this side. We'll have everybody introduce themselves. Jennifer Henry, Jen H. Say hi.
Good morning, everybody.
Mike, next door. Say hi.
How you doing, everybody?
What's your last name, Mike, so that they know?
Luzzo, L-U-Z-Z-O.
You'll never forget this guy. All right, Terry. Terry Marie, go ahead.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Murray.
Hello, it's Murray Gray.
From what movie?
Unsullied.
Coming out when?
August 28th.
Good for you.
Get your butt there.
And Chris, go ahead. Say your last name.
Good morning, Chris Honitschlager, The Record Parlor.
Which is a great store, matter of fact. We're going to get into that in a minute. Okay, movies released this week. Man from U.N.C.L.E. Anybody going to go see it? Straight Outta Compton, obviously a good movie.
Yeah, I want to see that. That's my time zone, or time era, I guess.
Well, I think a lot of us, huh? Huh, Mike?
Yeah, I want to see it pretty bad.
What we can say sometimes, sometimes there's a lot of things that you can't say that you want to, but sometimes it's best left unsaid. And it's a good weekend. We are in the last days of August. It's almost mid-August. Actually, it is. I'm counting it already. We're 41 days from the Hollywood Film Festival, hashtag HFF2015, hashtag HFF2020. And one of the reasons why a lot of people are here, we have a lot of things to talk about. And Vinny is here, too. And I love dogs.
Vinny is here. He's excited.
And the good thing about stuff is, Chris, the reason why I wanted to have you in, congratulations, your movie is officially into the Hollywood Film Festival. You didn't know about it until I called you yesterday. But we had a nice chat, and I talked to your friend Chad on your Record Parlor. Talk about how you started this and where it came from, because you knew nothing about it. Even your director didn't even know, because we haven't even announced it yet.
Indeed and true, and thank you for having me. But I think you called me, and I was literally probably watching a little of the Trumpzilla stuff on CNN, which has become quite addicting lately. And I guess you told me the news that the movie was accepted. I didn't know that. I didn't know the movie was even submitted. I spoke with Ryan, the director, and he first time for him, so he was actually pretty excited.
First time film director, and he just submitted to the Hollywood Film Festival. So here's the thing. Out of 1,100 movies, your movie got in. That's why I personally went to the store. You know how difficult that is? And here's the other thing. Their movie, their short film, was only 4 minutes, but it's good. It was so good that I actually had to, where's the store? I needed to know where it was, because I came out of that era as a disc jockey. And then I walked into the store, 2 days ago? And I was like, wow, this reminds me of Tower Video, Tower Record, back in the day where you could actually go buy LPs. And there's nothing in there but LPs. And I'm looking in that, and I'm like, I know some of my albums are in that store, because I wrote my name on every single album I brought back in the day. Talk about how you guys started the store, where it came from.
Started the store 2 years ago, and I'd been buying records 3 and 4 years prior to the tune of about 250,000 records. I went on a buying spree 7 days.
A quarter of a million?
I had 250,000 records, and I decided that I needed to open a store, and didn't know what I was doing, really. I hadn't visited many stores. Grew up in Downey, so I remember Middle Earth. I don't know if anyone that knows that store, but yeah. Middle Earth was a kind of a cool store for DJs and stuff, and I hung out there, and I think it was more or less out of need to get rid of these records, because I realized that even though I had an online business, I could never sell that quantity of records online, even with the online stores. And so I wanted to kind of get into the community and create an environment that was a true vinyl experience, from touching vinyl, feeling vinyl, listening to people perform, producing records, and doing something they did in the 60s with a lot of the surf music.
Absolutely.
It's an old concept, but no one's really ever brought it back. And so a record store that goes beyond just selling records and actually providing.
You know, the good thing about this, he's got a lot of people going in there, and what's the ratio on kids? Because the kids are buying vinyl these days. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, it's the thing I keep reading, and it's a bit annoying, is that this is just like a hipster thing. It's absolutely not a hipster thing at all. In fact,
I disagree with that 100%. Yeah. I have a lot of friends that are in Vegas that DJ, even in LA that DJ, and they started on records, they started on vinyl, they started from, you know, scratch with that. And, you know, there's so much dilution with the MP3s and the, you mm-hmm. know, the electric mixers going on now, that it's lost. The art, the skill of DJing itself is lost because mm-hmm. no one knows how to find a beat on a track anymore.
Exactly.
You know, it's almost like I remember rewinding cassette tapes, you know. There's just something that's been lost in that.
I agree with that, too. And really, really, I miss that. I mean, walking into that store, you made me, I am going to go back and start buying LPs again because I missed that feeling. And when I was growing up, all I spent my money on was buying albums. I remember spending $90, $135. As soon as I got my check every Friday, I had to have the latest thing. And that reminded me of that feeling. And you don't get that. You don't get that at Amoeba or anything like that. So hats off to you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, to your point, one of the things that we don't allow in the store is Serato or Traktor or any of the digital formats. If you want to DJ our store, you have to come in with your records and you have to put them on the turntable and you have to DJ them. There's no... You know, there's no faking the funk at our store. Well, a few people have tried to do it, and they failed miserably, and it was quite embarrassing for them. But it's actually pretty hard to DJ vinyl.
Uh-huh.
It's not that easy at all.
No. Talk about who you had last week. And your second year anniversary coming up tomorrow.
Who did we have last week?
I bum-rushed him. I literally said, you're coming on the air about this stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot of people coming in and performing. Well, this week, one of my... And this is a hot tip for people that don't know, but one of my favorite bands in the United States is a band called Vintage Trouble, signed to Blue Note. And if you like, it's literally the Stones meets James Brown, and it's one of the most electrifying shows you'll ever see. So you got to check them out. But, you know, as a store, we reached out to them and said, look, your new album's coming out today. Their album comes out today, in fact. And I said, if there's anything I can do on my dime to host an event, let me do it. So... You know, I reached out and talked to the label, and they said, let's do a party. Let's do an event, and let's get all the fans in one room and have a real big party. And that's what we do. We do a lot of those. We did a party for Rick James.
Last week? And had I known about it, I would have been there.
Yeah, we brought in the family. And, you know, talk about something that was out of the box. The people at the label were scratching their head when I said I wanted to do a Rick James party because they're re-releasing Street Songs after 25 years, one of his greatest records.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, how are you going to do that? Rick James is gone. I said, well, he's not gone. His record is here.
I play.
We brought his clothes out of storage, his jackets out of storage. We put them on a mannequin. We brought his private record collection out of a vault, and we had some of the best soul DJs picking through Rick James's original records.
I would have done the exact same thing.
I have chills. I mean, talk about, that's amazing.
Talk about, like, and the place was, we brought in Ty James, his daughter, and she, I mean, the stories that she was telling was like, I mean, I felt, if Rick James could be there in any form,
he would have fun.
He was there that night, yeah. For sure.
And you got Otis Redding?
We have Otis Redding. We're doing Otis Redding's record after 50 years. Otis Blue, one of the greatest records Otis ever did. And we're going to be celebrating that. We're going to be bringing in amazing DJs and amazing people catered with the best food. And just, it's a real music celebration and celebrating the life of someone. You don't have to have the artist to celebrate a record. It's a work of
That's
art.
That's right.
And it's just, we all look at paintings and those artists aren't next to us either. And mm-hmm. we can enjoy them as well. So
talk about your location or right next to it, which is beautiful.
The location is in the center of Hollywood, which is booming. And I, you know, we're in like an old print shop from the 1930s. So yep. It's got, you know, the high ceilings, the brick walls. And we really took an old, office space. And the idea being, I tried to create a place that if you walked into it, felt like you were stepping back in time.
And you do.
And so there's nothing made in China in my joint. Everything works. The gear ranges from the 1930s to the 1970s, and it works, and it's been restored. And so I'm very passionate about fixing things, too. So it's not about just having objects around me. It's those objects actually working. And when they work well, you know, just like these microphones in the room, I mean, these things from the past are as good, if not better, than some of the things today. But people don't want to fix things anymore. I mean, that's a whole other discussion. Like, we've lost the ability to fix things.
That is definitely an entirely other show.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And how do people find you? Your Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram. We're just pretty much the Record Parlor everywhere, and it's Parlor with an O-U-R. And if you can't find us that way, just come in the store because it really is quite an experience that, that we have there. Or catch a show. And by the way, it's our 2-year anniversary tomorrow. So
that's right.
It's a great time to come.
And I'm going to come down and support you. I'm bringing Brad because he loved your store.
Oh, thank you.
The show's at the store?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we're having a show tomorrow.
Awesome. And what's the address of your store for those listening?
It's 6408 Selma Avenue. It's basically Selma and Cahuenga. And we're just a block from Amoeba, which is very interesting.
Very convenient.
Yeah. Exactly, which is where that movie that he's in will be shown.
Yeah.
Murray Gray, what are you doing here?
I am here to talk about Unsullied.
Which you are the star of.
Yes, yes. Simeon Rice's film debut, his directing debut. And it's coming out August 28th to like 110 theaters, AMC and Harkin across the country. So we'll have a limited release and see how it does. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of everyone who's a part of it.
And it's a good movie. I really liked it. And I've been talking about it ever since, haven't I?
Thank you. Yes, you have. You have. Well, it's like an awesome suspense, thriller, action. It's like a great adrenaline rush, as well as I feel like my character goes through a really important journey that every human experiences. So it's a story about hope, but also being a phoenix versus a victimizer, as well as it's action-packed and entertaining. It has every component that I think everyone would like.
But you're also a tough chick in it too.
I'm a tough chick in life too.
She's in almost every scene, whether she's doing martial arts and she jumps in water and a black woman gets her hair wet. You can imagine what that's like.
Ooh, those were the hardest days of shooting. Every other day I was like, this is awesome. And then when he wanted me to get in the water, I was like, pond water? Want me to put my head in it? Aren't there water moccasins? Do I have a towel? Like, I've never been such a princess. It's so funny. Simeon Rice was like, clearly you were raised in a city, not like a country kid.
Not by a pond.
Not by a pond.
Now, you don't empty the water once. You empty the water twice.
More than twice. Yeah, I think there were 3 different days of water shoots. It was intense.
I was impressed by that. I'm still telling people about black girl got her hair wet.
I know.
He did. He did bring that up to me. He's like, you know, I'm just so impressed with this Murray Gray. You know, she jumped in the pond and got her hair wet. I said, Brian.
Thank you for giving me credit.
No, you must know what it's.
Thanks for giving me that credit, because Simeon kept joking, like, we need to get you swimming lessons, or like, why don't you want to swim in the water? I said, I am a black woman getting in this pond for you. I am dedicated. You're welcome.
And you did a great job. I was like, wow, she swims too.
I know. He's like, you don't know how to swim? I said, well, not competitively, but I can survive, which is what the film is about.
You did a lot of stuff. And he, first time filmmaker, and he knows his films. I was really impressed by that.
Yeah. He's very interesting. Simeon Rice is such a perfectionist, and not just about football, about everything that he does. And he executes things very well, and he's sophisticated about how he goes about it. You know, he does his research. He's not just someone who's...
He knows his movies, too.
Yeah.
I was impressed by that.
Yeah. Some of our favorite directors are similar, Martin Scorsese and Quentin Tarantino specifically. And so it was so great that this was my first feature film, and it was his first feature as a director, and I felt like we were on the same vibe and the same
mindset. It looks like
mindset.
You were.
Yeah, it was a really great experience for me, because I think it could have been very daunting, as well as I would have felt like a rookie, where I kind of came in and I felt very comfortable. You know, not like arrogant or anything, but I felt like I knew what I was doing and I was the right person for the job. And I think the fact that Simeon and I
are
similar.
I asked him how he
chose
you, and he was impressed, and he kept bringing you back, and he was like, wow, she may be the right person. And you are. Talk about your other job too. Where do you work?
At Stout.
Not too far from where?
Not too far from Record Parlor.
And did you guys know each other?
No. I really wonder if I've served you before. It'd be hilarious.
It would be. And you just happen to be here on what show?
On Brian Sebastian's show.
That's what we should rename it. We should rename it the Brian Sebastian show, because he does such a good job.
No. So again, how do your future fans? Because I keep telling you, a lot of people don't know that she's really got a movie coming out, because she hasn't really said it yet. I think that's great. I think that's humbling, but at the same time, now's the time to start telling them. I think one day when you get pissed off or something, just bring that poster in. This is who I am, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes, that's what I'm going to start walking around with a big poster of myself. like there's a spotlight around me. No, but you can follow me on Instagram at murray.gray or Twitter at murgray8. And I've been sending so many updates about the film. I'm so excited, and I'm excited for everybody who's a part of it. So August 28th, you need to remember, 2 weeks from now, August 28th, AMC Theaters, Unsullied.
Terry, where have you been?
I was in Puerto Vallarta. I just got back. My boyfriend took me there for my birthday. I didn't want to leave because now I got to go back into prep for my next show, which is in October, which is Fitness Universe. But it's hard to get back to the diet and back to the gym after 2 weeks of a break. But I'm ready, you know.
You are ready. You've kind of been talking about it. What do you look forward to?
Look forward to what?
Getting back into shape.
Well, I'm in shape. I'm just not stage ready right now. But it'll take me about 8 weeks. I'll be there. So, I mean, I was active when I was in Puerto Vallarta. We went, you know, surfing, did zip lining, did a lot of swimming. So I didn't like just sit and drink and eat. You know, we did a lot of activities. But I didn't realize how green it was that south of Mexico. And what was interesting, I stayed at the Hard Rock. And it's an all-inclusive resort. But when you walk in there, you know, of course, it's all, like, you know, music-based with all the bands around. The first thing I noticed was there were the old 45s. The whole, like, decor around the front desk was the old 45. What are those things called? The things that go in the middle?
The spindles.
The spindles, yeah. And it was some really neat artwork. So I just wanted to bring that up since we're talking about your store today.
I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's cool. Just Google their website, and you'll see pictures of the front desk. It's pretty unique.
And your fans, the ones that know you, that follow you, how are they reaching you these days?
I'm on Instagram, on Terry Marie Fit, and I'm going to start doing YouTube videos on my prep starting next week. My boyfriend's going to follow me around at the gym with a camera because, you know, I train my boyfriend now, too.
Interesting.
So he's going to help me put this all together. And you know,
I wonder how that works.
What works?
Training your boyfriend.
Well, he didn't even start working out until, you know, I started competing, because I've only been competing for about a little over a year now. And he surfs. He does enduro motorcycle racing. And so he, you know, he's 52 and he wanted to have more endurance with his sports. And so he enjoys it now. So, and it's kind of fun to train him.
Does he listen to you?
Yeah, he does. Actually, it's the only time he listens to me.
That's funny. Yeah. Mike.
Yes, sir.
I liked you from the get-go. Let's give people an introduction where you came from and how you got into the business and everything like that.
Which business are you referring to, Brian?
Well, let's start with fitness first, and then we'll work our way back.
Well, fitness to me started just as a young kid. I was always competitive in everything I did, whether it was BMX racing, skateboarding, that kind of stuff. I played baseball for 9 years, and in that course, as I got up to the higher level, I came across bodybuilding magazines, and I opened up a magazine, seen this guy from New York, he's Italian, and I'm going to be this guy, you know, if he's there. So that's how it started. Then I went on to compete and throughout the 90s, and been doing it ever since. Now I just do it. I train because I love to train. I train guys, conditioning, strength and conditioning. I get away from, I'm not so much a personal trainer anymore, but to put food on the table and everything, I'm a contractor, but those are my loves, is just the fitness. Always done it, always will do it.
One of the things I was impressed about you is of the eating properly, and Terry, you understand this, and obviously Jennifer does too. Talk about why that's important, eating the right food, because we, as I tell people, we are an obese nation, and we don't know what we're doing right.
Well, society has made it so hard. They made it so you are confused, so you can't eat right, and the portions that you buy in restaurants are not proportioned right, and foods are mixed wrong. You know, as the day goes on, you don't need certain kinds of foods for energy, so on and so forth. In the mornings, you do. But they feed it the same way. They mix carbs with fats too much, so on and so forth. The thing is you have to just figure out what your needs are and what you're trying to accomplish, whether it's an endurance athlete or whether it's a physical appearance or whatever. And then diet's going to change from that. But it's 100% true. You are what you eat. I mean, I'm 46 years old. I've been doing this since I was 18.
You look good.
And I never, you know, at my biggest, I was 280 pounds. National level competitor, trained with tons of pros. A lot of my friends still today are ex-pro bodybuilders. But I do this now just because I want to be the best I can be for as long as I can be. And that God allows me to be. And if I can set an example for somebody or help somebody, then I'm good to go.
Terry, when you think back to when you first started training, was that difficult for you to just have that continuously?
I've always been a really healthy eater my whole life. I just was raised that way. And I've probably for the last 10 years have been very conscious on reading labels and with the ingredients in food. Mm-hmm. I think probably the biggest misconception, especially in the United States, is that our food is labeled healthy when it's not healthy, or it's labeled diet. Where aspartame is probably the worst thing that you can eat because it's a neurotoxin. I mean, there's just so many chemicals in our food that the body doesn't recognize, and they keep you fat. And it's, you know, these companies, they want kind of, I'm at the point now where I think that they want to keep you fat because it's a money.
Well, they do.
Yeah, they do. Well, they do.
There's money involved.
That's true. So,
I mean, we were talking, and this goes back to, we were talking about that sugar film not too long ago about how everything has sugar. And then Jen brought up a point of what she can't have now. And I thought that was interesting. And then even on the set, with all the stuff you were going through, I can imagine what was the catering was like.
Oh, well, it's so challenging because I've really educated myself in nutrition as well. I'm super... I'm hyper aware of the fact that because we're not growing our own food or raising our own animals, there's a lot of different chemicals that are in things that are, like, if you even look at how you gain weight, how people tend to gain weight nowadays, it's only in your stomach, whereas if we were gaining healthy fats, it evenly distributes throughout your body. And so it's hard because you don't want to be socially difficult in the sense of having a high standard of what you want to eat versus what's being provided. Like on set, it was very hard because I just had to pick around stuff because I didn't want to inconvenience everybody else just because I've been a little bit more educated on my own accord of what I want in my body.
Well, I think it goes across the board, not just on sets, because I'm in medical sales, and you think that the people that I am around will always be eating healthy. That's not the case.
They don't.
And I'll go to a conference room, like on a sales meeting or, you know, even like... doctors want me to bring in food, and it's just I can't eat the food there. And sometimes I feel like I've gotten over like not feeling stupid that I'm not eating the food, because sometimes you feel like guilty, like, oh, I'm not going to eat that.
And people think you're doing it to be skinny. Sorry to interrupt you,
it's about health. And then when I go out to eat with my boyfriend, he used to get mad at me because I'd say, what do you cook the food in? You know, is your fish farm raised? Is it, you know, wild caught? And he'd be like, God, you're so annoying. Can't you just like, you know, order off the menu? And so now he's kind of used to it. And now that I've educated him, he's doing it now. So it's just a mindset.
Well, I think preparation is key there, knowledge and preparation. So like if you know exactly what it is that you do or don't want to eat, then become prepared, you know, bring your meals. I mean, you see us, we have our bag. You know, when we go fancy places, we bring our six pack bag because it's fancy. But like when it comes down to it, we use job site igloos, like old fashioned coolers, because it doesn't matter what it looks like. For me, I go to the salon. So I got my grocery bag full of my Tupperwares that I go throw in the fridge at the salon because, you know, and my clients are like, oh, I need to order some food. You know, did you want anything? I'm like, no, I brought my food. And they're like, oh, you do. You always do. You always have your own food. I'm like, I do always have my own food, because even if I'm not prepping for a show, I'm taking time off from competing. And so, you know, people are like, oh, that means you can, like, you know, skip the gym, or that means you can, you know, you don't have to food prep. And I'm like, why would I do that to myself? Yeah. I've gotten into the habit to where now when I get up in the morning, I can reach in my refrigerator. And I can pull the prepared meals out, or I can pull the prepared food out and make my meals for the day and take it with me. I don't have to stop and spend money going through a drive-thru. I don't have to stop and figure out what it is where I'm going to go sit down and eat or what I'm going to do. I just grab my food and I keep going, and I'm, you know, and I know what's in it because I've made it and I've prepared it, and, you know, it makes it a lot easier.
I mean, I like the fact that I see that, because I'm going to start to get into that as soon as we get into our house. When you're working a lot and you want to go across the street and get something to eat or like that, do you think about what's healthy, or are you just hungry at that point?
I feel a little overwhelmed. All these people know so much more than I do. But, you know, I here's the thing that I lived in Europe for 4 or 5 years, and the Europeans flat out sort of laugh at the Americans about the weight and how fat people here really are. And I keep scratching my head, and I lived there, and I ate a lot of food. I ate sort of the same way. I'm sort of a meat and potatoes kind of guy, and I do my best to kind of, you know, the obvious things and not go crazy on carbs and stuff like that. But what gets me is why they're so much thinner than we are. I mean, I just don't get it, because they're about the same in terms of activity. Well, maybe more or less. But I mean, you can go to the rural parts of Europe or to the city, and people are probably 30 pounds lighter on average than we are. And so I don't know if it's just the fast food industry or if it's the animals. But so that part baffles me. But, you know, outside of that, I do a little thinking about it. But, you know, obviously everyone in the room is at a higher level, and I wish I could be there. But it's a little daunting when you're trying to figure all this out. You know,
and that's one reason why we bring it up, because it's about movies. It's about movie reviews and more. It's all connected. There is no separated thing anymore, because even when I worked at Tower Record or Tower Video, the first thing we went to Central. We went over to the Rainbow to get stuff. Yeah. We were just hungry.
Yeah.
And then after a while, everybody just started bringing hamburgers in. I'm like, that's not good after a while. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to those healthy choices and bringing back the meals and learning how to prep them and eat correctly on the set too, right? Because catering, they peanuts and raisins and everything, not necessarily what you need, right?
Right. No, and it's interesting, too. Your body needs 14 days to adjust to anything, whether it's nutrition or working out or sleep schedule, whatever it may be. And so it's so hard to be disciplined for those 14 days. But then once you do, then if you do have something that you've been resisting, your body rejects it. So it's interesting, too, in the sense of it's not just that I eat healthy. I've been eating healthy for so long that when I do have something bad, I respond even more negatively to it than I did before and instantaneously.
Exactly.
It doesn't take me 2 weeks to feel the hamburger like I have a stomach ache in 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you know also where you might seem cuckoo to other people who don't want to do something at that level yet, but I know I'm making the right decision if my body is now rejecting it, something that it was used to for 10 years.
Well, when a lot of people start dieting, they get kind of the flu because it's all the toxins being released from their body. So the first 3 days is probably the most difficult, and then you start feeling better, because I know that Garrett, my boyfriend, went through that. But when I was in Mexico, though, I ate like a pig, but I ate fresh fish, I ate fresh vegetables. I didn't gain any weight when I was there, but I didn't eat any processed food. But their food is a lot healthier there. I mean, you don't... I did see some of the crap, like in the convenience stores, but I'm just saying in the restaurants and stuff, a lot of seafood and, you know, caught fresh, you know, in the ocean. And there's definitely a difference, you know.
There is a huge difference. Just to touch on what you were saying, Chris, about the in the other countries. Well, the fact is that there's a lot of food that is allowed in America that is not allowed in other countries. There's a lot of things, a lot of chemicals, a lot of, I mean, the list is ridiculous of the things that are allowed by the FDA in America compared to the things that are not allowed anywhere else, you know, so, but that's just, that's a whole other show.
Because that's not even food. That's toiletries, there's so many chemicals we allowed.
It's even your cosmetics and stuff. Your body absorbs all that. People don't realize that if you put a lotion on, your body absorbs all that, those chemicals.
In 20 seconds it absorbs it.
And we're going to come back to all this, but we're going to go to the vampires, I believe, next. Believe it or not. What's that got to do with anything? It's about movies in general still. Hi, Susie. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on, Brian.
This is a friend of mine. I read her first book. What was your first book, Susie? When was it? Was it January, February? Or was it last year?
December 2014. It was called Into the Night.
I read the book. It was actually pretty good. I was amazed. And I think it took me a day and a half to read it. It was a quick read for me. It was actually pretty good. And the reason I wanted her to call back in, because she deals in the book world, and you got another one coming out, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. This November, the second book in the series, Wake in Darkness, is going to be publishing, and it follows Selena Baker. So in Into the Night, Selena Baker is a 20-something living in Boston, and she goes out on a date that ends very badly, and she wakes up a vampire. And so Wake in Darkness picks up after some very unfortunate things happen. She's down in D.C., there's a throne open, and the politics in the vampire world kind of go a little haywire. So she has to choose the right side when the battle lines are drawn.
And you know what's interesting? The last time we talked, vampires, zombies, what else was going on? What's going on now? Vampire, zombies, it's the same thing going on. It's that popular, isn't it? What are you seeing in the book world as far as people coming in? Because there was a movie called Love Between the Sheets that I really liked on romance novels, and I talked to you about that, on women who wrote all the romance novels and how big they are around the world. 75 million women. And then you've sort of entered that book world now. Talk about that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different sides to this book world. So there's that romance side, and that will never go away. of women, readers of all ages, they love the romance side. Mine is definitely a little bit, there is some romance in it. It's more kind of on the horror, the gore side. But it's incredibly popular. Coming up in September, I'm going to be moderating a panel with some really great authors who have new books coming out in this urban fantasy field. So Chris Farnsworth, I mean, he writes a book called The President's Vampire. So I just think that anything paranormal, supernatural, there's just a huge appetite for it out on the book market. So Into the Night and Waking Darkness, they kind of fit right in there.
Women, what is it about you guys, I should say you ladies, that like to be bitten in the neck and stuff like that? What's that all about? They're all quiet. Like, they're not saying anything.
Why is it just women?
Jenna's thinking about it.
In all the vampire stuff, it's men too. Everybody likes it. Necks are a very sensitive part of your body. They're a weaker part. Like, you have to protect your neck and your spine. And so, yeah, they're vulnerable. So there's always something sexy about any part of your body that's vulnerable that is touched in any way, shape, or form. And so to talk about it in a book, people like it.
Susie, you've got three women here and three guys, so that's why I had to ask that question.
But you know what? There's also something to, like, that timeless vampire man or woman who comes from a completely different age and who is just, like, I don't know, this mysterious creature. That does not get old, I think, for men or women. I mean, look at True Blood. That has such a huge viewing population, both male and female.
I mean, you even got Game of Thrones kind of going like a vampire and zombie type of way, too. Cause, and you're right, it hooks that audience. They really like that. So what
Absolutely.
Else?
Absolutely.
So, I think go ahead.
I was just going to say, the world is just so real. People like to see it spiced up a little bit.
Yeah. So, is this a continuation on from the last book, or completely different then?
Yeah, absolutely a continuation on. It actually picks up the same night that book one ends. And then it goes forward for a couple of weeks. Yeah. So people who enjoyed the first one, they'll be really excited for the second one.
I did enjoy it. Talk about the process, because now it's almost like you can make your own CDs, obviously, going back to retro LPs. People can write their own books now. Talk about the process of how you wrote this book.
So this book has definitely been written in a much shorter time frame than the first one. The first one I started back in high school, and I had a few years to work on it. But this one, I'm the type of person who writes kind of a skeletal first draft, and then I sent it off to my editor, Laura Ownby. She works with Red Pen Reviews, and she detailed letter. And we just kind of go from there, filling out the book and making it better and revising and revising and revising. I think that's something that all writers can commiserate with, the number of drafts you have to go through.
And it's still not an easy process, is it? And with less people reading or actually going and buying it more online. See, I like to pick up the book, as you know, so when when it comes out, I want my copy again, as usual, so I can read it again. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was looking at the numbers, and I think, you know, I used to work in publishing before this also, and the trends, the buying trends are very similar with my book as well. So maybe, 10, 15, 20% of sales are ebooks, but there's actually a surprising number of sales that are paper as well. And usually people buy those online, but they just like to have the physical copy in their hand. And I'm definitely one of those people.
And how can people reach you?
You can find me on my website, SuzanneRigdonAuthor.com, or on Twitter, @SusieRigdon.
Okay. When's the last movie you went to go see since you've been busy writing your book?
Oh, my gosh, the last movie.
Uh-huh. That's what I thought.
I know. I've just been busy. I've been writing all summer. I don't even remember.
You know I'm going to quiz you next time I have you on again. So, all right, one more last time. How can they reach you one more last time again?
On Twitter, @SusieRigdon, or my website, SuzanneRigdonAuthor.com.
And what was the name of the book again?
Wake in Darkness. It's out November 3rd with Spent City Books, and it's available for pre-order everywhere books are sold online.
Thank you, Susie. I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
Mike, you're not off the hook yet. So, continue on. Before you got into fitness, were you a bodyguard or a bouncer then?
What it was is I've always worked construction just out of high school, and then I was 155-pound kid. So in order to be a bodybuilder, I had to be a much larger person. Well, it wasn't conducive to work physically all day and then go try to train as hard as I had to train. So I found other avenues. One was bodyguarding. I did a lot of that, a lot of bouncing, a lot of bodyguarding, just to so I could be free to heal and grow and get big and do what
and
I
was
do.
And back in the day, that's what a lot of people used to do.
Yeah, a lot of guys did. Yeah.
Did you like that whole process of being out there doing that?
Because the bodyguarding or the competing?
The bodyguarding.
I loved bodyguarding. I mean, I'm not a regular bodyguard where I'd go through a service or something. I actually was Etta James's personal bodyguard for 5 years, so it was a very, obviously, you know, she's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, tremendously. But her audience is like middle class, middle upper class people, so it was a very easy time for me and very pleasurable. Everything,
yeah,
from the Rose Bowl to the jazz festival to grand marshals and parades, stuff like that. I had a few other small things that I did as assisting other bodyguards, like with Dr. Dre and Jean-Claude Van Damme and some different things. And those, those were kind of cool experiences. But for the most part, I kind of stuck with Etta, and then I just did a lot of private security at like higher end restaurants and such.
Were you always also careful on what you were eating when you could, because you're protecting somebody else too.
I always have my food with me. Always have. When people see me from 20 years ago that haven't seen me, I run into a buddy and I got my lunch. I got a pail full of drinks and a pail full of food, and they're like, "You still do that? You competing?" I go, "No, I don't compete. This is just who I am, and it's what I do."
That's impressive.
And it's just easier. It's like Jen spoke earlier. It's easier now. When you're hungry and you do this and your metabolism is at a certain rate, you have to eat immediately, and then you're forced to make a bad choice, and you immediately feel it. Sometimes 30 minutes later, I grab a burger or something because I'm out of food and I was out longer, and all of a sudden I'm like, "That was so good." I'm like, "Oh, no, it wasn't."
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it's just be prepared, and it's simpler.
How can people reach you if they want more information?
Me, I'm on Instagram at Head Coach Mike. And then through Jennifer, I'm just kind of Jennifer's right hand. I help her with all her competing and all her stuff and all her ventures with you and such.
And I like what you do. I was impressed when I went out to support her. I like what you guys are doing, because it's not easy. I'm not sure if a lot of people understand all the work that goes into doing it and being a couple, and then having like your boyfriend come in where you're training him. That's the whole nother world at that point.
He did not understand anything I was doing, and he's like, "Why are you putting yourself through this? Why are you doing all this to yourself?" And then when he finally got it, he got it, you know. But it took him a while that he just thought I was crazy. He thought, you know, meal prepping was nuts. He's all, "I don't understand, like, why you're doing cardio in the morning and then you're doing weights at night." He goes, "What's that about?" Like, he just didn't, you know, you have to be very disciplined, and, you know, he's disciplined, but if you're not doing it, people just don't get it.
It's, you know? it's really who you are.
Yep.
I tell people, you get up and brush your teeth every day. I get up and I live Mike every day. And this is what I do, and this is what I'll do forever. It's who I am. It's not a fad. It's not about when I leave a room, what somebody says I look like or I didn't look like. I do it for me.
See, and to me, you look bigger, you look in great shape, and you almost look younger. Seriously, that's what I'm saying. And I don't just say these things either. I mean, no wonder she's with you.
That's the Jeunesse. That's the Jeunesse serum.
See?
She's getting me. She doesn't want her old man to get any older. So she's getting me on all the skincare stuff and everything. And it's exciting.
All right, Jennifer. All right, what's been happening next? Because you gave me this.
I did.
Talking about it last week.
We did. We ran out of time. And so I just kind of wanted to plug it in there. But, you know, about 6 months ago, I saw this little video on Facebook, and it was this woman, and she was on this show, and they wanted to put so what they did was they put a little bit of this cream underneath her eye, and she had these two huge water-filled bags underneath her eyes. And a lot of women, a lot of men suffer from that. Because we don't ever sleep. We don't ever sleep, and when we do sleep, it's not quality sleep.
Yeah.
And so I saw this video, and it got my attention. It hooked me. And so I started contacting this woman, and she and I spoke for about 6 months. And because I'm a pretty big cynic, and I think everybody's out to get me, and I think everyone's trying to just take my money. And, you know, and I take a lot of pride in what I put myself behind. And so I started researching and watching videos and going online, and trying this and I eventually got some samples about for this product, and I started using it. And in 18 days, my skin completely changed. And it wasn't the under eye the under eye cream was called Instantly Ageless, mm-hmm. and it does. They call it the 8 to 10 hour Botox. And people are using it in med spas. They're using it in plastic surgeon's office. They're selling. It's plugging in all over because the science is behind it. Like I said, they call it the 8 to 10 hour Botox. But so that's great for one avenue. But for me, it's like I have these cystic acne scars and these wrinkles that are forming because of the large pores in my face because of the bad skin that I have. And while I am sponsored by an amazing holistic doctor, Dr. Modar from Modar Institute, he was taking care of the cysts themselves, but the leftover, you know, the scars from that, you know, they were what were bothering me the most. And so I started using the serum, and like I said, 18 days later, my skin has completely changed. Now it's been about a month, and it's still getting better and better. And when I do have a breakout, it's hormonal, and it goes away very quickly. My skin is literally repairing itself because the active ingredient the active ingredient in this serum is actually 85%. Pure growth factor from stem cells. Wow. And so what they do is they extract the fat tissue, living tissue, and or the living cells, and they the stem and would you know it, say you put it in this petri dish and they watched this the stem cells do is they literally they put out this chemical language to the dead and damaged cells, and that chemical language is growth factor. And so what is happening is you're applying that chemical language to your skin, to whatever areas, be it stretch marks, be it burn scars, be it age spots, be it discoloration of any kind or damaged skin of any kind. And it literally goes in and communicates to repair those damaged cells. And so that is kind of the flagship of this company. That's what kind of has gotten... they did $120 million globally in sales in the month of June. They're ranked number one privately owned business by Inc. 500 this year. And they actually, I don't know my source, so I hesitate saying this, but I just was informed by our team leader that it is the number one business in North America right now because of the fact that it works.
And Mike, you use it too, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What do you like about it?
Well, I've been fortunate, and I really haven't had skin issues, and I've always just used like oxy pads to clean my face, and she just kind of brought it to light, like, hey, you're getting deep lines from the sun, this and that, and I see that, but that's just who I am. I'm just the man's man. It's me. So, and
hey, men want to look good too. They may not all acknowledge it,
right? Well, yeah, of course we all do. And she started applying, just come here, started washing my face with the scrub and putting on the night cream and putting on the serum and putting on the instantly, like, she had put the Aegis on my forehead, and it was completely gone for like 4 hours. Like my lines, I had no lines on my forehead. Gone, like little traces of red marks. It was absolutely nuts. And that, you know, and like she says, that's just the instant part of it. That's great for if you're going out or you're doing something, but you know, you need to do the backup work. You need to do all the scrubs.
So what I was excited about, because Mike, you know, like he had said, he's been in this industry, the health and fitness industry, most of his life. And so he's always done the work from the inside out. And that's a huge reason why he looks the way he does. You know, at 46, people think he's still in his late 30s.
Mm-hmm. And I peg him as 38.
Exactly. So did I. So I got, you know, I kind of, I got ripped off because, you know, I'm 30 and he's 46, but, you know, I look older than my age and he looks younger than his age. So it just kind of works out. But anyway, back to the point of, you know, doing it from the inside out. And what's nice is that he's the biggest cynic around. You know, I've had people contact me about paid sponsorships, and because I don't use their product, he's made it very adamant. And not that I would sign with them, but you know, oh my gosh, but we can make some money on this, or oh, but you know, we need to pay this bill, or we need to pay that. And he's like, yeah, Jen, but you don't use the stuff. Why would you sponsor something if you don't use the stuff? And you know, immediately I agree with him, and you know, he has to pull me down from the cloud real quick, and help me to keep it real sometimes. But so I started researching this product more and more, and they have gone out and they found the top scientists and the top leaders in this industry that have created these amazing products. Like, for one, the vitamins, the AMPM. I was discussing it with Murray earlier, and you know, our body is on this clock. You know, at this certain time, for men, it releases testosterone. At this certain time, our body releases dopamine. At this certain time, you know, our body starts to repair itself. And you know, so it's important that we get the sleep that we need. It's important that we have the energy we need throughout the day. And so these vitamins have been broken down to gosh, there's so much. I'm not a scientist, and I want to do it justice. I don't want to take anything from it. But the way that it was broken down to me is, if you go to your top nutrition store and you get the best multivitamin on the market, you would have to take 40 of those in the morning and 40 of those at night in order to get the equivalent of what he's done in this in these two pills in the morning and two pills at night. It helps your sleep cycle. It helps your, you know, it's got the ginkgo in the morning for, you know, the things that you need for the daytime to be awake and alert and aware. You have that in the morning. And the things that you need to rest, get a restful sleep, get in that REM sleep, get in that where your body can actually repair itself, and it has the telomere complex. I'll get into that in a second, but it helps you repair and rebuild more quickly and more efficiently throughout the night. And for us, those of us fitness competitors, that's huge, because we are so limited on our nutrients that we're taking in. And one of the testimonies that I heard about it was that, you know, one of these guys, you know, who was competing, he was so depleted that he actually had to go to the hospital because he was so malnourished, because he was eating such a strict diet. And so he actually has been on these AM and PM vitamins, as well as one of the antioxidant products from the line that contains resveratrol. And if you guys don't know what that is, go ahead and Google that, and you can see what a huge bonus that is to be able to take as an antioxidant throughout the day, the phenols and the reserve and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, not to get too far off into all the different things, it's an entire system. You know, and so what, you know, it's about being able to regulate your night's sleep. It's about being able to eat or get the nutrients in that you need during the day, have the energy and the ability to think consciously. You know, we get so overwhelmed throughout the day and all this stuff that it's important that, you know, we take the right nutrients, we take the right things into our bodies in order to keep all that stable. And
with someone who is in fitness world and running around all the time, and someone who is an actress, this is important for you guys, obviously, too.
Well, you know, I'm just turned 48, so, but, you know, which was a scary thing, but.
We all have to continue to do something,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, we do. You do. Mm-hmm. We do. But, I mean, that's why I compete, too, you know, because it keeps me on track, it keeps me healthy, it keeps me accountable. So, but I mean, I'm really into like making sure I'm taking, you know, all my vitamins and stuff, because otherwise I get fatigued. I don't sleep right because if I'm not getting my nourishment.
So. Exactly. And so those of us that know what we need to do for our body, it gets expensive. Mm-hmm. And so when have the top leaders in the industry coming together and putting something together that kind of makes it convenient, where it's all in one place and it is the top quality stuff, and you don't have to go out and spend $300-$400 on the supplements outside of that, because individually they're cheap, but when you add it all up, it adds up every month.
When you talk about how sleep is one of the most important factors, and I always say that I wish that it was a 36-hour day, not a 24-hour day. Yeah. Because, I mean, just this day and age, if you are not lazy, or you're somebody who is in touch with your family and friends and works hard and takes time to yourself, you don't have enough time to get everything done. So, you know, my day turns into a leisurely day, or thinking it's going to be a leisurely day, to I'm up from 7 a.m. Until 1 in the morning taking care of whatever. Plus, we are constantly looking at screens, which keeps you from going to sleep, and all this different stuff. So your body literally, you have to have
that's
supplements of
nuts.
Some sort, because even when you are sleeping, your body's not as rested as it should be, unless you're going to, sleep an entire day? Who has time for that?
Exactly. You know? And so that's why it's so important to make sure that your body is working to its optimal performance, you know, because we run it down, you know, when you're trying to run a business with your store, or when you're trying to, you know, do screenshots or do your screenplays or do whatever it is that you're trying to do, trying to get your movies out and trying to get your movies done. Whenever you're getting, you know, you're in the gym day in and day out, like, that's one thing is, like, antioxidants are so important for our bodies, especially when you're working out all the time or stressed out all the time or always are taxing yourself, the more oxidation that happens to your body. And for those of you that know what happens with oxidation, I mean, think about a penny, think about a screw, think about anything metal. It rusts. It's rust. And now, okay, your body's obviously not rusting on the inside, but the same idea, it's oxidizing. And so, you know, so antioxidants are super important. The phenols, all the things that help from, you know, the phenols are the things that are in the, like the red grapes or the cherries or the blueberries, the skin on the outside that keeps it from oxidizing. You know, we need to be able to ingest those. And who can eat 17 to 18 servings of fruits and vegetables a day? I mean, it just doesn't happen. And so it's nice to have a little convenience, a little gel pack that
Chris,
you can just shoot during the day.
As a business owner,
yeah,
he's like, you're picking on me? Yes. I mean, it is important, because you're like thinking, wow, you put so many hours into this baby that you created. Again, we all want to look good no matter where we're coming from. Isn't that correct? But what does that do for you just hearing this conversation? Coming from your point of view, obviously.
No. I'm thinking, well, there's two sides of me. One, music is like a great vitamin, and I've turned off the TVs, and I recommend that, because that helps tremendously. And I know it sounds kind of esoteric, but it truly does. Just turn the TVs off, stop watching TV, stop watching the computer and just listening to a couple good records, and you'll be sleeping pretty okay. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, the power of music. And then the second is, I mean, all the things that you're saying about vitamins and, you know, I guess it's back to the same point of which direction, which manufacturer, which one do you take? It just, there's so much information out there. And, you know, maybe someone should just come up with a, like a hit list or a cheat sheet for people like me that say, look, you know, in my world, what are the 10 things that I can do? What are the 10 commandments? Because I can't do the 100 things that maybe you guys do at a competitive level, but what are the nice 10 things that you can do? And just break it down. I mean, I think for me as a business owner, because, yeah, I am working, you know, I was the other day I got there at 9 a.m. and I left the store at 4:45 a.m. and I was up at 7 a.m. for more interviews.
Wow.
I think I'm blessed with a pretty good genetics.
No, you look good.
I really am. I mean, compared to other people that need 8 hours of sleep or otherwise their life doesn't work out as well. But so that, I guess for me, it's just a little bit of luck, music, and surrounding yourself with positive energy has been one of the, I just get rid of everything. I've at the point now, if, it doesn't even matter whether I like you or not. It's just an energy thing. And I just remove it out of my life, and it makes me smile.
Talking about good music. Favorite LP? Do you have one? You gotta take it with you no matter where you go. You can't play it in your car, unfortunately, but you still want to have it close.
You know, it's the hardest question in the world, and it's the other day I was winding down an event, and I was DJing, and I put on an old temp song called Zoom, it's the song that it keeps bringing you up and taking you back down, and it's a long song. It's maybe 12 minutes long. And it's a song a lot of people don't know, and it's such a nice, fun journey. And so that's sort of my favorite song of the week, if that makes any sense. Because, you know, a week and a half ago, I was listening to Rick James, and I was like, this guy was a genius. I mean,
he was a genius.
You know, these guys are trying to put funk sets together, and you put Rick James on, you can slam anything else against it, and it almost doesn't live up. It's like, you know, put something up against Michael Jackson, everything is inferior, and it's kind of the same for Rick James. I mean, he truly is a genius with a wild past, and I got to hear some of the stories of the wild past, which...
See, that's interesting stuff.
That was, you know, and I don't judge people, and, you know, I want to know rather than not know. To me, it's more
exactly.
The information.
That's why I like doing interviews. I'd rather know from that person than hearsay, because
I mean, I heard from his daughter what was really going on behind the scenes, you know, and it's extraordinary, you know, and so... Yeah, I mean, that's probably the song of the week, but it's always changing. And of course, I highly recommend it. I'm on a bit of a quest to bring jazz back into people's lives, because it's a great format, and it's actually coming from me. You know, 5 years ago, I would not have really even said this. You know, I think jazz is an amazing format of music. It's very intellectual. It's very difficult, and it's just like anything. In fact, whether it's the vitamins or you know, eating something or drinking something, it takes a little while to get used to it.
Exactly.
But once you get it intellectually, it's pretty amazing. So anyway, that's...
Mike, when you were with Etta, was there a favorite song that you liked from her from hearing it so often?
Yeah, there was a particular verse in a song that she sang, and the song was Damn Your Eyes. She used to... I used to have to sit right off stage. She always wanted me in view. And at the time, Etta was very large, and she just sat on a stool. You know, she was, well, almost 300 and something pounds. And she always wanted to turn around. And when she'd start to sing that song, she'd turn around and look at me. And in the back, she'd tell me, you're going to be famous because your scalp's always so shiny, and you have this great energy and all this stuff. She was a great lady. I mean, she was so much fun, you know. So just the whole experience with her was great. You know, it's unlike when you go do security for somebody else and you got to be on guard, and all they want to do is just blow out some kind of crazy time, and all you are is really a hired fighter, you know, even though you can't touch anybody, but that's why they have you there. So, yeah, I was blessed.
That's an honor to have had that time with her, though.
Yeah, it was exceptional. Yeah, and it actually, when she passed, she lives very near to us too. They have a home, the main home they stay. They have one here in Los Angeles, but she has one out where we stay, and it's hard driving by the house sometimes, you know. So
you're gonna have a Etta James thing coming up, maybe?
We should. I mean, I'm a huge fan, and in fact, I can't tell you how many times people come in wanting her original records, and we have to say we don't have them, because if they, I kid you not, if they arrive in the store, they're gone in a day or two. If people just sniff that stuff out, they find it. You know, I have all of her early records, and they're amazing. I mean, she's it's like you can't even compare it to anything. It's,
you know what would be interesting? Having him come in and tell the stories who was on the road with her.
Yeah.
You can't get better than that.
Yeah, I've never met anyone that ever was close to Etta, so, you know, I just know her from her music.
Very, just not to speak out of bounds, but they're very tight. Her husband, Artis, and her sons, Donto and Sameto, and they had the Roots Band and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Very close, tight family. Most everybody that worked was family. The only people that really wasn't was my mother and I.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm sure she included you as family, too.
Oh, she treated my mom like you can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jen, H, you got a favorite song, album that you like to listen to?
God, I got to tell you, I don't. I, you know, because, you know, I grew up with horses, and so I love my country. I grew up with Elvis. I grew up with the Beatles. I grew up with Ace of Base. I grew up with Sublime and the Cranberries and Aquabats. I mean, remember Aquabats? I was, everything. I mean, Incubus, 311. Yeah.
He likes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's just, I have such a large, I mean, I grew up doing ballet. I love classical music. I don't play it very much. I love jazz. I love funk. I love everything. So I couldn't honestly tell you. I mean, I love Celine Dion. You know what I mean? So like, I just have an appreciation for music. It depends on what mood I'm in. It depends on who I like that day or who I don't like that day. It depends on, you know, if I'm angry, if I'm happy, if I'm sad, if I'm anxious, whatever, you know. And because I feed so much off my music, a lot of times when I'm at the gym, I'm listening to 90s hip hop, you know. It just completely depends.
Terry, Murray, what do you guys have?
Oh, I guess I'm kind of a rocker, I guess.
Kind of?
Yeah, no, I am. I'm like, I like, you know, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin. Actually, when I was younger, I was a go-go dancer for Velvet Revolver for a couple of their shows. So I got the privilege of dancing on stage with a rock band, which is kind of crazy since I can't sing. So I kind of got that experience.
You don't have to. You just get up there and shake whatever you have.
Just shake it, yeah. But, I like alternative music. But, again, you know, growing up, you know, in the 70s and 80s, well, went to high school in the 80s and college in the 80s. So there's kind of a mix there of transition. I remember when Nirvana, you know, hit the scene.
Yep.
And, you know, music changed that point from, like, the hair bands to Nirvana. So I went through that whole transition. So,
Murray, where are you in music right now for you?
Where am I in it now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so I'm a 90s baby, so hip-hop and R&B are very close to my soul.
Who are you listening to?
Right now?
No, in general then.
In general then. So the first CD I ever bought myself was Destiny's Child.
Oh,
right next to the wall. I went to Warehouse Music back when you could do that, and you would sit and listen to the whole album before you decided to buy it in the store. And I had saved up like my babysitting money. I think I was like 11. Such a big deal. And I thought Beyonce was like the most beautiful person in the world, and she's from Houston like me. So Houston like really nurtures its people. So anytime somebody, rap or anybody, has something come out, like the whole city is so supportive of it. It's a really big deal.
You're going to be meeting her soon. You already know that.
Just so I can be like, thank you for repping my city. You know, it was also growing. Things are so different now, but growing up, she was one of the few people who looked kind of like me. Like, she's lighter skinned and she's really successful. And that's back when music videos were a big deal and like MTV only played music and YouTube didn't exist yet. So you had to like wait for TRL.
Right, right.
You know, it's like music was so important because you would listen to it and we had tapes, but we were kind of going into CDs, and CDs were cool because you didn't have to rewind. Just all that.
So you're making Chris's day. You know, that's
our customer.
This is why you have that store, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, something interesting happened. I was talking to a guy, and he said, because what about CDs? Do you think they'll ever come back like vinyl? And I said, well, absolutely not. The format won't last more than two or three decades, and physically won't last.
Yep.
And when you see someone walking into a store, buying a CD, and as they're walking out, ripping open the CD, throwing away the jewel case, throwing away the contents, and just pulling the CD out so they can stick it in their little slider in their car.
Yeah.
The format's dead. That whole vision was like, there's no collectability, there's no respect for the physical format. Mm-hmm. The content's great, but no one really respects the format.
And
vinyl people will never, if I give you a piece of a record, you're not going to throw it away.
Yeah. Hell no.
For whatever reason, people can't throw away records. People can throw away CDs.
What I liked about having albums was seeing where it was recorded. I remember watching where Van Halen recorded, and Prince was going up against Rick James. They feeded off each other. You had the Mary Jane girls,
right.
And then you had Van and these six, and they could all play instruments, and they didn't really like each other, but they needed each other as competition, you know, and they were both successful from that. And I love reading, you know, who was playing on this, you know, the old R&B mass production and stuff like that. All right, that's it for our show. Quickly, give your website and where you're located. Store.
The Record Parlor, 6408 Selma Avenue, and we're at therecordparlor.com and parlor with an O-U-R.
Murray.
Check me out on Instagram at murray.gray or Twitter at murgray8.
And your movie.
And our movie is Unsullied, coming to theaters August 28th. So please be on the lookout. You're going to love it.
Terry.
Terry Marie Fit on Instagram. YouTube is going to be Terry Marie Fit. And then also, if you want to find me on Facebook, I'm the ultimate winner, Terry McAdams.
Good. Okay. Mike.
You can find me on Instagram at @headcoachmike.
And you could ask him anything, too.
Awesome. And then if you guys want to check out the Jeunesse products, you can go on JenHenry.JenesseGlobal.com. Or if you want just a quick little snippet, you can go to RawImage, RAAImage.com, and it'll take you through a funnel and kind of give you an idea about some of the products.
And I'm Brian Sebastian. Movie reviews and more at The Cavalier, at Movie Reviews and More, MovieReviewsAndMore.com. See you next week.